good afternoon, good evening, wherever you be in the world. This is Ralph Kermit Winterode II with the Ralph Winterode Show, coming to you live out of Alaska, a nice good old rainy day in Alaska, 55 degrees, so not that hot, good weather. Alaska Fair is coming up the end of the month, so it's time for the rains to start and the wind to get to blowing. Can't have Alaska Fair without nasty weather. Wouldn't be the Alaska Fair. I'm going to talk again about, I'm going to spend quite a bit of time today on Rappert's case. That's a criminal case. Go over it again because there's so much more that I didn't get in there. Because I ran out of time on the research and I didn't want to assist those guys in getting a way out of what's going on. And I've been going back into the research to go to the history of the Internal Revenue criminals. And they are criminals, what they're doing. It's unconstitutional because they are forcing people into implied at-will contracts. And anyway, I'm going to make just a couple statements here. I went and saw the new Ben-Hur movie, and it's pretty good. It's not as good, I don't think, probably, as the original Ben-Hur, but I unfortunately, the one copy I have, I couldn't see all of it. It kept screwing up, so I'm going to order a copy. But the original was a lot longer, of course, and it didn't have near the special effects of the ships and all that. But both of them were good stories, and they weren't disrespectful or anything. I thought an interesting thing that I saw, I didn't see Weinstein. I didn't see any Jew guy in there, and I didn't see Lucasfilms. It's made in Italy and Malta. Isn't that amazing that we are getting films that might have a Christian orientation out of Italy or over Malta or someplace instead of in America by Hollywood and the Jews? Pretty astounding, you think? Not really. Anyway, it was a good movie. I enjoyed it. Say it's a little different twist. Everybody's got a different twist on movies these days. So, but the original Ben-Hur, Charlton Heston's pretty hard to beat as an actor, and the great length of that story was 3.5 hours or something long. It was a real long movie back in that time. I think it's $15 million they spent, which was unheard of, in making Ben-Hur. Anyways, we still got the Democrats out there, the Luciferian Party, and they basically anybody that's a Democrat and votes for Hillary, they're either stupid or they're pure evil. I don't see any other. What's the other solution? What's even more amazing is some of them that I've seen some of the interviews where they say, "Oh, well, we know she's lying about this. We know she's lying about, but what are we going to vote for? Based on what?" There is one immediate question. What is the advantage to having a liar-in-chief? We already have one. What's the advantage? What's the gain? What do you do? Unless you're on the side of the corruption, of the evil, the forces of darkness, principalities of evil, I don't see any benefit. And, of course, we got all these Republicans that aren't Republicans that are taking on the take two, so they're coming out of the woodwork because, oh, my golly, we wouldn't want our little old gravy train to... They got a different twist on it, but they wouldn't want their gravy train to be exposed or to stop, so they're coming out against Trump. So we have no choice. We have a republic, and if we don't get Trump in, the ball game's over. You know, factor. There's no doubt about it. The republic has been overthrown, which I'm going to talk about today, and I'm going to get into Rappert's case and more of the information. I've got to get back on Gladden's case because there's a pending thing on his, and then I have a foreclosure. I got to raise $24,000 somehow. They're going to put me out on the street, but I'm going to try to take the Matsu Burrow down. I'm going to have to put my resources in taking those SOBs down over there. I've had enough of them, and they have dug their heels in, and I said, okay, you want a pissing match, you got the right guy. So we're going to have a deal with that. Anyways, for those of you that are on my IRS list, I fail to give out my email a lot, so it's Ralph, R-A-L-P-H, at AlaskaMinuteMan.com. Ralph at AlaskaMinuteMan, not men, man.com. And I have a list, $250 donation, postal money order for those that can afford it. And if you can't, just tell me why, email me, and you will be at it. I don't keep anything from anybody. And I've got a couple of discs that cost me about $15 probably to reproduce them and stuff. So, you know, if you want some discs on, there's two on the research. I've got all kinds of my research on it, and the 1940 Code, the Farrah Fenton Bible. I mean, I just got a ton of research. If you're into research and dictionaries, the original 1828, the 1943 Funk and Wagnalls, 1913 Funk and Wagnalls, and a couple of things that are basically probably shouldn't be there, but we'll put them on there anyway. We'll just say we're giving those away to get around their bullshit world that we live in. And a lot of dictionary stuff. A lot of my whole module research things are in there. So I'd say at least $20. Seems very fair to me to take the time to do it. I mean, that's a bargain. The research of since 1991 when I started this. So, and it's not all done. I'm working on words and phrases right now, and I'm also working on the pre-Amger 1. I have a copy of it, the complete copy, about 70 books. And there's an amazing wealth of information, and I hate to destroy the bindings and the books, but this information, there's a greater use for it than me having a copy of it that I have access to. And so I want to make these available. It'll probably be another DVD or maybe two DVDs that I'll make. I'll probably make those a little more expensive to cover, try to make a little bit of money on it, but they need to be out there for people that want to have access to these things. And I also included in this other reason, a couple of the 1928 or 1948 Title 28 and Title 18 information that there are only a few books of those left in the world that I got out of. I got one of them gave them to me by a lady back east. And then I got an original good copy once I found out about them out of Gonzaga Law Library. And I had them copied. I copied them up here. It took me a hell of a lot of time because I couldn't take the books apart. But I copied both of them, got good, clean copies. And it shows the changing our statutes to rules, and it's amazing. And it's got revisers' notes. It's conclusive in there about the overthrow of our court system, and all that's available in those DVDs. I'll send $20. If you want to send me $20, and I'll make you a copy and mail them back to you. Under mail. So anyway, that's some of the stuff that I'm working on. But I'm working on the rest of the... We're going to take down, finish the 1099s is a done deal, but it's not all of the information that I had because I could not get all of the information in there to, I didn't want to give them any way out of this situation that we have with Rappert, RAPATT in Minnesota. I still say we have them beat. In the law, they're beat many times. We have them beat. The reason why I'm saying that is because it's a bench trial. And in the bench trial, the judge, Senek, stated initially, which I was against with Richard Rappert, and when he dug his heels in, which is fine, because all I do is provide information. And whichever way anybody wants to go, as long as we're not into negotiating with them or something, or, you know, with... And he was right, and I changed my tune, absolutely. Hey, now I understand the thing, and this is the reason why a trial by jury on the IRS, let's just do everything with the IRS today, is a waste of time at trial by jury because it is not a trial by jury. The original common law trial by jury, you had to have the essential elements of the law given to the jury before they started so they would have evidence that would be in support of it. That's not what happens today. You have the illusion of a trial by jury, which is by these district courts that are out of the territory. They're territorial, bastardized courts. They don't exist. They can't be a territorial court because you can't combine a territorial court. You can't combine Article 3. They're just bastardized out in the la-la land. They're in the land of Oz. They have no judicial power. They tell you judicial power of the district court. It's right in 28 U.S.C. 132. That's 28 U.S.C. 132. Doesn't say judicial power of the United States. That's the Constitution. Judicial power of a district court can be exercised by one judge as an inquisitorial court. An inquisitorial is where one man or a woman makes up their mind and issues an edict. Oh, this is what I say it is. It is, and I will give you the law. The laws of the United States are not at play. The laws of the several states are not at play. It's all an illusion. And they tell us this. They don't even hide it. But people don't want to believe what's right in front of them. Okay, and I keep having to change my mind on things. Things that I think I thought I knew are not so. And that's one of the things I find about some of these Democrats that I see over here in the the Alaska Club. But I go in there, these people, I'm going to tell you, I got a real sharp tongue when I... with some of these people anymore, and I can ask just a couple of questions and run them right up the flagpole. And then basically, hey, you're stupid, go to hell. There's no reason talking to you. I don't talk to people like you. You're worthless. You are of no value. You're like the ones in Revelations. Your eyes and your ears are closed, and the only thing good for you is light them up, baby. Let's make some sulfur. That's it. There's nothing to be done with these people. They won't even... They're not, you don't want to confuse them with the facts. So, getting back to Rappert's case, one of the things that I did learn, I learned a lot up there, is I pay attention. I sat and I listened to how this judge conducted the trial, his bench trial, which was not a bench trial. It was still, he would not allow the law in like he said. And the second day up there in the trial, why we redid the questions to, under your experience and under your understanding and your training to get him past the gatekeeper, because he didn't want these questions asked. He didn't want them on the record. But I've got to work up, and now that I see the game, some good responses. But let's go back to the original thing of why is a form 1099 allowed into a court when you can't have them. We did get one time a reading in the definition of a withholding agent out of a law book. Why can't the facts, just the text out of a law book, why is it prohibited and yet a form 1099 is allowed in? You see that all the time in these federal cases, 1099s, and I got one of them where they did a substitute for returns, which are total nonsense. There are three forms, and in that form of the tax court of the United States, which is not a court, 28 U.S.C. 60610, and then I've got the information now. They changed the tax court. Does not even abide by the regulations, the Administrative Procedures Act. Conclusively now, we know they don't do laws of the United States. They don't do internal revenue laws of the United States. And they don't abide by the Administrative Procedures Act. Why would I go there? I used to say, which I've changed, but I had to go there and expose them. This is the only remedy to get into the appellate courts. But now that we know conclusively that the United States District Court and the appellate courts are strictly based on geographical location, not on subject matter. Why is that important? Because subject matter has to do with the constitutional issues and geographic. Oh, you're just found. The citizen of the United States is found someplace. You're residing in the territorial boundaries of the United States, not domiciled within one of the several states. That's why they always use resident. Always use resident. You're a resident. Citizen or resident of the United States, and you're resident in one of the states, the corporate states made up. This is what a hell of a game. I mean, I have to applaud these people. The principalities of evil are very sharp in using words. And they've got us dumbed down to believe things that we know that are not so. So, back to the form. Under the Paperwork Reduction Act, which was put in, supposedly to cut down forms, well, they're supposed to be, there's you got to be in compliance with the Paperwork Reduction Act. So did that person, what's his name, did he put in a compliance with the Paperwork Reduction Act? No, he did not. So this form, first of all, wait, how can I allow a piece of paper? Let me just give you an overview, first of all, what they try to do. This is the game they play. They allow a piece of paper come in with no legal foundation for what it does, the authority for it, what it's used for, nothing. Zero. Zip. They don't lay the foundation for the forms. It's just automatically allowed in. And then they make statements, well, it's income, and we object. No, just keep out. There's no legal foundation, no facts and evidence. What is income? There is some definitions for income in Title 26. Nothing for income to do with Subtitle A. If you're into railroad retirement or some of that type of stuff where you're already in the pot, yeah. But there's no true definition for the term income by itself because they can't. But what they do is they take a piece of paper and they're told, well, they told me to put it in, or my computer, I relied upon my QuickBooks. This is the type of stuff. There's no legal foundation for that piece of paper. What it's for? The authority for it? Is it constitutional? Is it under some statute? What? None of this is. None of this is laid. It's just brought in. And the judge won't allow anything with any objections to some of this stuff. No. Then what they do is they take this piece of paper, and what's the authority? Every one of these people, without exception, had no idea that there are five types of taxes. None of they all, except for the two for the state, and then they impeached themselves. They had no idea what the Internal Revenue Laws, they've never read them. They had no idea what the Minnesota Revenue Laws were. Back in a minute.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Can't hear me? Can now? Okay. Well, we got hold on just a minute. Here goes sneeze. I guess they couldn't hear me down here. Somebody's screwing with a who knows what. Anyway, what's the overview of the game they play? This I just can't believe they get away with this in these courts. They bring this piece of paper in. It was supposed to be under the Paperwork Reduction Act. That's in 94 Stat 2812. Now, a person that did a lot of work in the paperwork reduction, that is Springer, of course, but he didn't, you can't just, I'm not criticizing what he did, but you can't rely on what he did and just for this, he didn't go near far enough. He knows more about the Paperwork Reduction Act than I do. I know enough about where I want to go with it on the law side, and then I'm going to move on to some more issues from my perspective that I have much more validity. That I can prove. But anyway, so the bottom line is, and this is codified today in 44, United States Code 3501 through 3521. That's 44 U.S.C. 3501 through 3521. So, did they bring up the Paperwork Reduction Act? No. Did they require who is to fill it out? Well, a payer. Okay, which still doesn't get anywhere. What subtitle of tax is it? They had no idea. Nobody in all of Rappert's trial had any idea of what subtitle of tax. You don't find that in the federal cases. What the hell is wrong with these people? Subtitle A is income taxes. Subtitle B is estates and gifts. Subtitle C is employment. Comes from the Social Security Act. You cannot have a deficiency of a Subtitle C tax. It says so in 6211 and 6212. Subtitle D, some excise taxes like built-in alcohol taxes. And Subtitle E, alcohol, firearms, and tobacco. Nobody in that whole trial even knew what subtitle of tax they were supposedly that he was in violation of. That's including the two people from the state, from Minnesota, actually three. Nobody knows, including Rapp or the Hauser, the prosecutor. He don't even know at the end. He still hadn't figured it out. Dumber than a rock. How can you be prosecuted for a tax you don't even know what you can't even identify the specific tax? I couldn't make this stuff up. And then you would bring it to, quote, a trial? You got to be kidding me. Unbelievable. They had no idea about the 1099s. Well, the IRS told me, or like this one guy that took the money out, well, because... This Minnesota guy, McGraw, well, he told me to take the money out. So just because I get a letter says, take the money out, do you ever check any of the statutory authority? No. I just do what I'm told. I'm a little zombie. Departmentalized. Do I know what that box is? Seven, that I non-employee compensation. No, it's just somebody. What's your definition? Or what definition? Their opinion. Their opinion is worthless. I could give a care less. It's supposed to be about laws. In the inquisitorial world, this is allowed. It's what they think it means. But wait a minute. Why did Congress go to put over, I don't know, I guess like 1,000 term definitions into the Internal Revenue Code? You see, if the Internal Revenue Service abided by their definitions, it would work just fine. But, of course, they can't, which we're going to get into in a minute. So all this stuff gets in. So basically, the whole, all the stuff that Hauser, which is the prosecutor, put on, is non-essential facts. This is what happens in IRS trials in the federal side. They're non-essential facts.
Are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from takefromcaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at takefromcaesar.us.
Uncertainty has become the talking point when it comes to financial markets. One thing is becoming certain, safe haven assets. Hard assets are now becoming the choice of informed investors. The most recognized and valued hard asset is gold. The highest performing asset this year is gold. Trust gold to protect and grow your IRA or 401k. Central banks and billionaires are doing the same thing. Choose a more stable asset that has tremendous upside potential. As these uncertain times threaten the markets, your decision to reduce your exposure to these markets before further negative effects to your portfolio would be well-timed. Call 1-800-GOLD-IRA to transfer your existing IRA into an actual physical gold and silver IRA. American Bullion is the pioneer of gold IRAs. They handle all the details for you. Call 1-800-GOLD-IRA to get prepared. Start protecting and growing your IRA and 401k before the next crash. American Bullion. 1-800-GOLD-IRA.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Okay, well, we're back here. So, I went back and I have all of the, they started off part 19, part 29, part 39 were the prior to 1954 regulations. Then in 1954, they redid the IRS code again, internal revenue laws for those people in D.C. And then the very next day, they put out a regulation, which is found, by the way, in the very first book of Part 1. They put in the Federal Register they filed the very next day, 19 FR 5167. It says we're not doing that subsidy regulation stuff. They left out paragraph 4 when they put it into the public, into the CFR book. It's in part 1. If you haven't seen it, send me an email, IRS, and then put what you want in the subject matter, and I'll send it to you. They left that part out. Isn't that amazing how they just... I'll bet that was just probably an error, you know. The guy had a bad day. He left out paragraph 4. Then in 1960, they republished all of the now called Subtitle A Part 1 income taxes. They also republished all of the Part 31 employment taxes, which is under the Social Security Act. You get a benefit for being a statutory employee, which I think is on the W-4. There's a box for that, statutory employee, if you want to be in that world and get the benefits. Social Security Act is not the most dangerous thing we do, by the way. So, I went back to the 1960, and it says right there, individuals required to make returns of income. A citizen of the United States, whether residing at home or abroad. A resident of the United States, even though not a citizen thereof. And an alien bona fide resident of Puerto Rico during the entire taxable year. Taxable year, by the way, is always the hook at anything researched. There it is, right there. You're a citizen or resident. That's in 1960. Now, I did not put in, they did this in November, I did not put in December that the IRS said it's not a subsidy reg. They waited a month and put it in a separate, whether it was complying, making laws. You see, we got another constitutional issue that nobody seems to want to address. It was used in Texas, but it is unconstitutional, and nobody's taken it on. In the Administrative Procedures Act of 1946, codified today in 5 U.S.C. chapters, I think it's 5 through 9, but where you find the killer, which was brought up in, Judge Hannon brought that up in Texas, it's 5 U.S.C. 551 number 4. In that definition of rules, there's two words. Congress said that agencies could, quote, prescribe law, end quote. Now, wait a minute. You have no authority, Congress, to put any of your enacting laws of the United States, enacting any type of law, to anybody else. Nobody's ever taken this on. That is the key, one of the major keys that needs to be adjudicated. Where did they get the power to transfer their prescribed law to somebody else? Wait a minute, I thought that's what they did. Of course, the reason why they're getting around is because of the 17th Amendment, because there's nobody home. The senators don't have standing from the several states, and we, the people, have unknowingly signed up to be citizens of the United States, which I'm going to get to a little later on, which was what I was working on. So we have a major problem there. So we have, I didn't put in the subsidy regulation. I didn't, because I want, because these guys don't even know what it is. I'm not going to get them, I didn't have the time to get all that researched out, and I'll get to it, but I didn't have time to make the case that I needed to make so that I didn't help the other side, give them an out. Also, in the regulations, they started doing these regulations, and guess what? That all of a sudden, the regulations, 26 CFR 1.1-1, initially didn't have the citizen of the United States or resident. Isn't that amazing? They thought, well, we'll just leave it out. Then all of a sudden, they get the urge, well, we're going to put it back in there again. And so they did. But here's what's amazing. This is what this says. And I said, hey, you guys, because Rappert put in he's a citizen of Minnesota. He's not a citizen of the United States under 14 Stat 27 of 1866, which was put in for the Negroes. He is not under the 14, subject to the jurisdiction thereof. And he's not under 1870 when they said, well, by the way, we can naturalize the blacks now because we've already pulled the scam. The Republicans have pulled the scam. This is the error in Hillary's America because the citizenship that the Republicans put in is not a bona fide citizen that is under any of the several states. It says we no longer have the several states. So we have the Democrats on one side wanting slavery, and we have the Republicans on the other side lying about citizenship. Isn't that special? What does 26 CFR 1.1-1 say? General rule, section 1, that's anybody owes an income tax, of title that's subtitle A, by the way, only, of the code imposes an income tax on the income of every individual who is a citizen of, or resident of the United States. And then they go to the extent provided by 871B and 877B on the income of non-resident alien individuals. We don't care about those individuals. There it is right there in plain English. No, I did not give them an out. See, these guys aren't smart enough. I already know that. They want to tangle with me on this other, thanks to Amy Bunk. I have great extensive knowledge, and I'm not bragging just on this. I go to the credits, which they cite 25 Federal Register 11-402, November 26, 1960. Well, that's special, ain't it? Then they get around and cite a couple of other ones later on. Well, I go to the source at the bottom. Guess what? The source is the same thing, same regulation. Then they also cite, which these guys won't know, even if they were listening, they wouldn't know how to use it, 25 CFR 14021, 1960. That's the one that says we're not doing it a month later. They did in November, they published the regs, and they waited a month. They waited from November 26th to December 21st to say, oh, by the way, you know, these don't have the force and effect of law. This is an illusion. Welcome to the land of Oz. Because nobody's going to teach you guys how to do this, and you won't have access to it, because we don't even put it out on the web. You have to have Westlaw or Lexis or go to the law library to get access to this stuff, because you're on a need to know, and you don't need to know. So I said, hey, well, it says right here, got to be a citizen or resident of the United States. Did they lay the groundwork for that? Nope. Rappert put in a public record. That's good under self-authenticating. But he's not a citizen of the United States. And he also put in a copy of a public record. He, of Minnesota, took it that he was a citizen of Minnesota, not a citizen of the United States. There is no authority under the 15th Amendment for the elective franchise to vote in any of the elections. And that's a fact. It's been held by the Supreme Court, Reese and Cruikshank. So why is it there? Well, you see, there's a bigger scam. The government that we have today is overthrown, and they're all into setting traps. You go to the returns. See, I was looking for required to file a return. What does that mean? Now, Hauser said that the taxation is voluntary in his closing argument. They also provided documentation that said unless you're required to file a federal return, you are not required to file a Minnesota return. Really? All states are piggybacked on the requirement. Why? Because they all have the federal taxable income place in them that has to exist from the federal side before you can file a state one. Now, Judge Sinke tried to say, oh, well, technically you don't have to be a taxpayer. You're going to get around and take a Form 1040, which is an implied in law contract, like a credit card. You just want a benefit. And you're going to fill it out, but you're not going to file it. But then you're going to take that information that you filled out but not filed and put it on an M1 Minnesota form. Now, who in his right mind would do that? Unless you're on speed or totally zonked out on drugs. Well, who in his right mind would do something like that? It's illogical. What he was trying to do was to make a case because there has to be a determination that you are a taxpayer. Otherwise, the laws, the Internal Revenue laws, have no meaning. You don't file zero returns. You don't file into a credit card and say, well, I'd like to use your credit card, but I don't want to pay for it or something, a zero return. That's what you're doing. It's illogical. You have no duty to file anything. Zero returns are a way to step into the morass of their nonsense. Stop and think about what a return is. I did a lot of work on return. What does return mean? You're wanting a refund. I tried return, but refund is really what you're wanting. What does that mean? It means that there was a pre-existing affirmative act by you. Otherwise, you would have no standing to ask for something back as a return, would you? Or a refund. So what is the prior existing affirmative act? Well, you got to be a citizen of the United States. We've got that in many places now. Well, how did I become that then? You see, that's one of the things I was working on is I found that in Alaska, they just declared the Uniform Commercial Code. Declared. Wait a minute. I was working on declarations. How does Congress or a legislature declare something? Well, I finally stumbled across declaratory statutes. It takes a while to get the right verbiage to... Seems real simple when you stumble across it. Why didn't I do that? I don't know. Well, guess what declaratory statutes are? Declaratory statutes are statutes where Congress can come along on a pre-existing in the common law statute to make their statements for clarification of what they enacted into law. There has to be a pre-existing statute, and there is a clarification. Otherwise, because Congress has no power to declare a damn thing, because that's what the courts are. They make statements, judgments. They declare what the law is, not Congress. Congress enacts it. They can't say what it means. It means what they enacted into law. So, what I was working on is, isn't it amazing that in 1867, people in Alaska were declared to be citizens of the United States. Not declared, they just stated they are citizens of the United States. But isn't it amazing that in 1868, they don't say everybody born or naturalized in the United States is a citizen of the United States. Why don't they say that in the 14th Amendment? Because they can't. It's subject to the jurisdiction thereof, of which there are many definitions of the word subject to. They need our approval, our consent. And they have set up a whole system now to where it is presumed you are a citizen of the United States. If you have a driver's license in Alaska, statutorily it goes right to the National Registry in D.C. that you are a citizen of the United States. If you get a permanent fund from a benefit from the corporate state of Alaska, you're a citizen of the United States. If you sit on a federal jury, you're a citizen of the United States. You sit on a state jury, you have to admit you're a citizen of the United States. You get benefits. It's always in there. Why is that? Because our natural status is a citizen of one of the several states. And they have to get us to admit that we would like the benefit of being a citizen of the United States. That's the presumption. And when you step into that world, you're in the world of the agencies. You're into the world. There is no state. They give the illusion of hearsay evidence and direct evidence, but it doesn't work because guess what? It's when these agencies make determinations based on the burden of proof going back and forth. Well, I say he's a pedophile. No, I say he's not a pedophile. I say he is. I say he isn't. Wait a minute. Whoa, wait a minute here. How can a taxpayer in that world have the rules of evidence, the burden of proof, shifting? The burden of proof does not shift in the common law or the world of mankind, unalienable rights from our Creator. You have to bring in evidence, personally known or facts, based upon the law. Not in the inquisitorial world, and people don't get the perception. How would we? We're not taught. The burden of proof shifting back and forth. No, that's nonsense. There's real evidence in support thereof. Under testimony, oh, well, we can't get the IRS people up there. Well, see, that's where they screwed up in Minnesota. These people got on the stand, and they totally impeached themselves. I am very well trained, and I am competent. The person that did the audit on the federal taxable income, yeah, I know the Internal Revenue. I've studied it. I have a degree, and I got a corn cob shoved up my tush because he walked up. I'm a senior, something or other. Whoa, golly gee whiz, let me bow down. Can I sign your shoes? Prick. And then it gets down to, well, let's see here, sir, just taxable income. Are you aware that Minnesota adopted the IRS definition 26 UFC 63 in Minnesota code? No. Are you aware of what it is in the, we didn't say the thing, but are you aware of where the taxable income is on the IRS code? No. Wait a minute. Let's see. No, you don't know where it is in the Minnesota revenue laws, which are nonsense. You don't know where it is where the Internal Revenue laws, and you just did an audit with the federal taxable income? Really? Same thing with gross income. They have to adopt the gross. They have to adopt the taxable income. They have to use them. Otherwise, they wouldn't be compatible because, you see, in the state side, they have a place for the federal taxable income. So I'm hearing all kinds of nonsense here. What's going on?
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AR.
Okay, well, we're back here on the air. Had a little bit of a problem again with Skype. Every time I get on my show, it seems like something happens to Skype, which I don't have problems with unless I'm talking to RBN. Somebody doesn't like me on this show, I do believe. Anyways, so this Senate in the United States is a critical issue. And so what I was working on is if I were a citizen of the United States, which I have the territorial books of Alaska, by the way, I have the three of those in 1949, which is all of the state of Alaska, the corporate side now. Ours is even worse than everybody. We didn't even get a smell of being one of the several states. They even said so in the enacting. We're not one of the United States of America. We're a state of the United States of America. We come in on an equal footing with the other states instead of the original states. They tell us. I mean, it's just nonsense. But anyways, getting back to things that we can use to expose them, I was working on this statute. So there has to be a pre-existing. So I said, well, wait a minute. Let's do a logic test here. If I am in a territory and I'm a citizen of the United States, which is true, because I'm under the plenary power of Congress, I'm an inchoate state. It's not sovereign yet. Not one of the foreign sovereign countries. That's one of the several states that I'm a citizen of the United States. Now, wait a minute. How can I then be declared by the 14th subject to the jurisdiction thereof, or in other areas declared to be a citizen of the United States? Because you see, a citizen of the United States pre-existed is in a territory. So you're trying to take that same citizen of the United States and move him into the area where the several states are, so therefore the several states are irrelevant. Simple logic. I can't be a citizen of the United States in a territory and be a citizen of the United States in a several states. What the hell do we have the several states for? Oh, subject to the jurisdiction thereof. We put in a qualifier. Thank you. And that is in 26 CFR 1.1-1, down in C. Oh, we got to be subject to. Oh, thank you. It says at the top, everybody is. Oh, but it gets so much better. You see, you go to this regulation, and I hadn't noticed it, and I haven't noticed it in any other ones, and I also went back in 1960, and they, guess what? There's no statutory authority. How in the living H-E-double-L do you have a regulation under the Administrative Procedures Act that we can prove conclusively has no force and effect of law? You're not prescribing law. You don't even do the illusion of putting a statutory authority at the bottom. They put credits and then they put source. There's no statutory source. It's based on the regulations of 1960, which said we're not doing it. I couldn't make this stuff up. We got a like lying Hillary. She tells a lie, then she tells a lie to cover the lie, then she tells another lie to cover the lie to cover the lie that started with this. How deep does this rabbit hole go? These people up there in Minnesota have no clue about statutory authority. I didn't bring it up because it requires another whole lot of work to lock them down so they have no way out. I'm working on it, and I'm going to get there. With one lines, there is no doubt in their regulatory authority, you have to be a citizen or resident of the United States. That's a fact. In their world, they have no statutory authority for it. They just made it up, and that's a fact. And the courts are to take judicial notice of the Federal Register, and that's a fact. That came out of the 1935 Federal Register Act. So now what are they going to do? They have to lay a legal foundation that you're a citizen or resident of the United States. And that's why this public record is so important. To get to that is the key to every agency that is coming after you, state or federal or local. It's always there buried somewhere. It takes a lot of work to find it. Access to Westlaw or Lexis.
Any kind in world history, Opea to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking...
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Don't cry for me, Argentina. The truth is I never left you. All through my wild days, my mad existence, I kept my promise, don't keep your distance.